حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد, in order to recognize the mission of Imam Hussein and to truly appreciate his message, we are comparing the times that he lived in with the times of his grandfather and his father and the other imams, so that we can know the difference and the distinction by which Imam had to rise up, to make a stand, come forward to do Islah, to do Amar bil Maruf wa Nahi anil Munkar, to give up his life, his family, his children, his companions in the way of Allah. And by doing that, we want to see that two imams who have made a stand, or about whom Qiyam is known about. One obviously is Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And the other Imam about whom the word qiyam and resistance or rising up or stand is used is Imam Mahdi ajallallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. So when we see the similarities between these two stands, by learning the stand of Imam Hussein and the circumstances around it, to see who his enemies were and who his friends were, it will help us to understand the qiyam and the stand of our last imam, so that we can recognize his enemies and we can recognize his friends. Until now, we discussed the differences in regards to the enemies of Imam Hussein, or the people who opposed Imam Hussein. And we went through the details of who these people were, whether they were the first ranking officers or they were the low lives, as explained in the khutbah of Imam Ali alayhi salam that we went through. Now, just we want to now go forward and analyze the difference and the distinction of Imam Hussein from the other imams and from the other ma'sumin in regards to his friends and companions. Who were his friends and companions? What was special about them? What was it in them that made Imam Hussein rise up and stand up and do the things that he has done? Obviously, this sentence has come in the words of Ma'sumin, that the companions that Imam Hussein had, no one else, none of the other Imams had. In Karbala, the companions who were with Imam Hussein were special, were distinct, because not just from each and every individual or an individual point of view, but also from a general point of view. As a group of companions, there is no other Imam who had such companions. And obviously it might be that, yes, certain individuals in and amongst the companions of Imam Hussein might be in some ways not at the level of certain companions that maybe Imam Ali had, like Malik-e-Ashtar and those companions. Malik-e-Ashtar was that person about whom Amirul Mu'mineen had said that you are to me like I am, like I was to the Prophet. This is not just a statement he made, just to, you know, like for example, we make statements and speeches trying to praise people to make them feel good. When he's saying that you are to me like I was to the Prophet, that is showing that, I mean, Imam Ali to the Prophet was that there was no one in the time of the Prophet who was there to defend the Prophet leaving Imam Ali. And Malik-e-Ashtar occupied that place and those shoes. So obviously, you know, he has a place amongst Ahlul Bayt. He has a place in the eyes of the Imams. But when we look at Karbala in general terms, the whole group of companions in Karbala, no other group of companions was like that. And even individually when we speak, really, when we look at individually also, there cannot be a comparison of certain companions of Imam Hussein. Really, to get an example of, you know, I mean, really, we, a lot of times because of emotions and because of the attachment we have to certain people in around Imam Hussein, we really do not pay attention to their ma'rifat and to their rank and position. If you look at all the history of the Imams, no one, many people have become shaheed, many people have become martyrs and gave their lives for Islam, but really, my friends, the position and rank and ma'rifat of Abul Fadl al-Abbas is second to none. There's no one even in comparison. When you speak of Abbas, this is not someone who is just like, for example, we say that he did something. No, his Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam. He had said that Inna Ammi al-Abbas Darajatan Indallah, that for my uncle Abbas there is a position for him near Allah. His position near Allah is such, Yaghbituna awwaluna wal akhirun, the first and the last of every shaheed is going to envy his position before Allah. The first and the last. Everyone will envy that position that Abbas has. All of them will look up to and say that, where is Abbas? Look at Abbas. Where is he? I mean, they will all, this is the Imam speaking. Masoom is saying this. It's not just like, for example, how we say it, oh, he was a great man and he did so many this and that. This is our opinion, you know, that we give, you know, about people. No, when the Imam speaks, he speaks according to reality, according to that which is real. When he says that Abbas's position in the hereafter is such that everyone will be envious of his position, he will be so high before Allah. Anbiya are there. Awwaluna wal akhirun, you know, Anbiya are there. Anbiya and prophets are looking up to Abbas and saying, look at the position Abbas has before Allah. This is something that we understand. And let me give you a wisdom behind this, so that you know, so I don't leave this unanswered, so that, you know, a lot of people might think that, you know, okay, here go the Shias again, trying to raise, you know, Abbas over the Anbiya now. You know, so to answer that doubt that might arise, let me give you a reason also why Abbas will have that position before everyone else. My friends, all the Anbiya and all the great mu'mineen and awliya of Allah, their goal in life is to sacrifice themselves for Allah. Their goal is fana, to give themselves up for Allah. That's their goal, to sacrifice themselves for Allah. That is their goal. All Anbiya. No one had a different goal. You know, I want to build a house, I want to do this. No. Their whole goal in life is to do what? To become shaheed, to give shahadat, to give their life for Allah, to the service of Allah, to the cause of Allah. That is their goal. And when look at their lives, you see that they are born, they are raised, they make up their mind, they learn, and then they go towards giving up themselves and burning themselves and sacrificing themselves for Allah. So all the Anbiya and all the prophets, they came. And all the mu'mineen and awliya of Allah, they came, they were born, and then they made the intention to sacrifice themselves for Allah. And Allah will give them that rank. All of them were born, they made the intention to sacrifice themselves for Allah, and they did. They did sacrifice themselves for Allah. The difference with Abbas and everyone else is that everyone was born and then made the niyyah to sacrifice themselves for Allah. But Abbas was born to be sacrificed for Allah. The birth of Abbas was there to be sacrificed in Karbala. He was born for that. Even before he was born, the niyat of his sacrifice was there. Ali made the niyat to sacrifice him before he was born. That is Abbas. Sometimes you see, when you make comparisons, Allah has put some people because of their position of ma'rifat in such a place that you can't even compare them. He gave something to them so that there's no way to compare them now. That's it. That's, you know, they're it. There's no way to compare them. For example, when Allah wanted to establish Ali's wilayat, then He made it such, and He made the proof such, that no matter what happens, there are certain fadilat and merits in Ali that no one can have, even if they want to have it. Even if they want to have it, even if they strive to have it, even if they kill themselves to have it, they can't have it. Why? Because Allah gave them such, they gave Him such things that no one else can have. Why? Because, you know, you have choice what you want to do when you're alive, but you don't have a choice before you're born. You don't have that choice. Allah gave that merit to Ali that his birth would be in the Kaaba. And now anyone who kills himself cannot be born in the Kaaba, because he can only kill himself after he's born. So now when it comes to Ali, you cannot compare. Now you cannot give any proof any more than that. that one of the merits is that Allah let him be born in the Kaaba. Just like that, Abbas, was his position is such that before he was born, he was meant to be sacrificed. Now no one can compare himself to Abbas. So just one Abbas is enough in Karbala to overshadow everyone. One Abbas is enough. No one can compare himself to that. No one can compare himself to him. So just one Abbas, my friend. I'm giving examples of individuals now and their greatness in Karbala. When we look at Karbala and the companions of Imam Hussein, individuals also have this amazing greatness that man can only wonder how they reached that state. You know, Allah says about the Prophet, he says, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. He says, Habib, you are on the highest level of akhlaq, character. You know, if character is there, that is the highest level of akhlaq you have reached. My friends, really, one of the things that we neglect is to learn the seerat of Rasulullah. We neglect it. If we want life, if we want our iman to have life, then learn his seerat and you'll see that how it gives us life and inspiration. Just knowing the Prophet will make us alive, feel alive. Knowing him. Let alone if we try to follow him, my friends. How much life would that be? You know, he says, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You are at the highest level of akhlaq. Your character is such that there is not even anyone close to that. He did not say this about any other prophet. No other prophet. Allah did not use this sentence with any other prophet. He said, no, you, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You are at the highest level of khulq and character. No one is at your standard. No one is at your rank. No one is at your position. Understand? This is about who? Rasulullah. I quoted this ayat. Now I want you to see, my friends, Karbala. I want you to see Karbala. The words of Imam Hussein, again, as I said, need some believing in. When he said these things, we usually hear these sentences in masaib. So we are crying and it goes over our head and that's it, it's over. But when we start analyzing it, then these sentences, then these words of Imam Hussein, I told you in the first speech, they need believing in. They need accepting. Allah says about the Prophet, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And when Hussein sent Ali Akbar out to the battlefield, what did he say? Allah, I am sending someone ashbahun nas khalqan wa khulqan. I am sending the one who is the closest to Rasulullah in his character, in his seerat, the closest to Rasulullah. Understand who Ali Akbar is. Understand his character. My friends, these individuals in Karbala have such greatness that when we look at them, each of them would overshadow everyone else, all the companions of the Imams. Each of these individuals, this is Karbala, my friends. And then generally also, when you look at the whole group that was in Karbala, that was with Imam Hussein, about them Imam Hussein had said, فَإِنِّي لَا أَعْلَمُ أَصْحَابًا أَوْفَى وَلَا خَيْرَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِي. I have not known. And who is this? Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein, meaning Masoom, someone who has the ilm from Allah. He is saying this. This is again, my friends, Hussain's word require believing in. He's saying that I have not known companions who are more faithful. Who are more faithful. And they are better than my companions. وَلَا أَهْلَ بَيْتِي أَبَرْ وَأَوْصَلْ مِنْ أَهْلَ بَيْتِي. And I have not known any Ahlul Bayt and family who is more righteous and more loving than my family. Understand what Karbala is. In terms of those people who are in Karbala, when you look at it, who were these people? Karbala was a place where we find a gathering of people, of companions, that after Karbala we understood what is the meaning of companions that imam, that are useful for the imam. Listen to the words that I'm saying, my friend. Pay attention. After Karbala we understood, after Karbala we understood who or what type of companions are useful for the imam. Which companions are useful for, it's understood after Karbala. When you look at Karbala, that's where you understand these are companions of an imam. This is what he needs. This is what the imam needs. What kind of companions do the imam need? These are the companions. After Karbala we understood that. Before Karbala, it wasn't understood. We didn't know. We didn't know which companion is useful for the imam. We didn't know. After Karbala, we understood, my friends. When you look at the Prophet's companions, yes, there were good companions amongst the Prophets. But you see what happened. Every time the Prophet wants to do something, there's some opposition. He decides on something, and someone has a different opinion. Every time he's doing something, there's someone who wants to say something different. What did Allah say in the Quran? What did Allah say in the Quran about the companions? Those who are with the Prophet. What did he say? And he swore in a way that he has never sworn in the Quran in any other place. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ swears by his own self. He says, I swear by your Rabb. Prophet, I swear by your Lord, which is me. I swear by your Lord. What? لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَتِّمُوكَ فِيمَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَلَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. He is swearing, my friend. Understand the words. What kind of language Allah is using, in what way he is telling the Prophet. He says, these people around you, these companions, I swear by your Rabb, meaning me, I swear by myself, that they do not believe. He's rejecting their iman. He said they do not believe. Until when? Until whatever you have told them, what you have decided for them, they accept it without even any resistance, even in the bottom of their hearts. Who are companions? Allah is saying in this ayat. Companions are those who accept the words of Rasulullah. They accept the decisions of Rasulullah without any resistance, any sort of problem, even in their hearts. Not even openly, let alone open. And say, oh, Rasulullah, I don't agree with you. That's a whole different... No, even in your heart, you don't find a problem with that. If you find a problem with that, then you have no iman. Wow. La ilaha illallah. No, my friends, understand this. This is something that we need to understand who are companions. And then we will understand what Karbala is. I will explain that. Send me a salawat. You know, if I tell you, you know what, we have to do amal for Arbaeen. It's half an hour, like 1 hour. Like, okay. And in your heart, you're like, oh my goodness, you know, let me find an excuse to get out of this. Let me find an excuse to get out of this one. How do I get out of this one? You know, when I have work, oh, I remember I have work. Right? Oh, you have work, you know. See that? And you don't. Obviously, you're making this up. Why? You're not opposing it. You're not against it. You even like it, but you feel burdened. You feel burdened. Haraj. Haraj means burden. You know, that burden that's in your heart. That means haraj. You know, haraj in you. You know, that, oh man, again, you know, we have to do this more. You see, when you have that haraj in your heart, my friends, that inside of you, when you see the hukum of Allah, when you see the recommendation of the Imam, just having the haraj in your heart, Allah says, if these people around you, Rasulullah, if they have that, if they feel burdened by what you are telling them, then they do not believe. They have no iman. Even that you cannot have if you want to be a companion. And you are a Muslim. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, you're a Muslim. Good. Go ahead. Go ahead, you know, enjoy your life. You can enjoy your life. But if you want to be a companion, then that is the condition. What is the condition? That when whatever Rasulullah says, whatever the Imam says, not only do you accept it, but in your heart you are thrilled by what the Imam has said. Even in your heart you don't feel burdened. Even in your inside of you, you don't feel problemed. I mean, this is, my friends, being a companion. You understand what a companion is now? This is a companion. When you look at the life of the Prophet, what happened? Rasulullah is calling the people to come. You know, he's calling them, hey, where are you running to? Come back. Just because you see someone attacking you, you're running? In Uhud, they started to run. You know, if you have been to Uhud, those who have been to Hajj or Umrah, they know that. You know, when you go to Uhud, you know, Adina is like a few miles away. Nowadays, it's inside of town. In the old days, it was out of town. Battlefield of Uhud. And you go inside there, I mean, it's a good, you know, run to Medina. You know, it's a nice little run there, you know. I mean, you have to take a bus or a taxi there, right? Now it's a nice little run over there. When they saw the horses of Khalid coming, they ran so fast, they even passed Medina. I mean, they couldn't even break their own feet. They were so scared. And Rasulullah is calling them back, come back here, and they're running away like that. Now tell me, my friends, who are these? these are the companions. Now tell me where this ayat is and where do they fit in? You see, that's the difference, my friends. Understand what companions are. These are the people Rasulullah faced. In Hudaybiyah, what happened? He made a decision. It was hard for some to swallow. It was hard for some to swallow. They're like, hey. And then starting having doubts about the Prophet himself. Oh, you know what? I have a doubt about you. I really don't think he's a Prophet, you know. If he was a Prophet, he wouldn't be saying this. Just one decision that goes against whatever interest you have, and right away, that's it. You start opposing the prophet and you just deny his prophethood. Friends, Allah is saying, if you want to be a companion, then if the prophet tells you something, then you should not even be burdened inside your heart. Your heart should not be in pain. Really, my friends, that is the obedience that we are asking you if you want to be a companion. Imam Ali, it was worse in his time. Look at Imam Ali. His own people came to him with swords. Ali, if you don't stop this war, you know, we will kill you. And my friends, you know, there's nothing more demoralizing when your own teammates are fighting. I mean, I don't know how many of you have played sports. You know, I used to play sports. And you know what? If the other side is beating us and beating our pulp out, it's not as bad. Yeah, you feel bad. It's not as bad. But if your own teammates start fighting against each other, especially against the coach, then now you're ashamed of everyone. Your head is down. You're ashamed. What's wrong with your team? I mean, if you start fighting with the coach on the sidelines, in your own sidelines with your own coach, that's an embarrassment. Really, it's an embarrassment. Wait a minute, what's going on here? You feel really bad. Here, Imam Ali's own team is putting their swords on Imam Ali and saying, stop this. Now imagine, this is the Imam's companions. These are not like different people. They're around him. They're the ones Imam Ali has around him. You see, this is what Imam Ali is facing. Now when you come to Karbala, then you understand. Karbala is the only place where we find that there was no resistance in any of the companions. No resistance at all. Whatever the Imam said they were doing. Not even just doing, they were doing more than what they are supposed to do. This is the difference between Imam Ali's companions, Rasulullah's companion, Imam Hussein's companions. Imam Ali is calling his companions to come and fight in the war. And still they're not coming. They don't want to come. They don't want to listen to him. Imam Hussein is asking them to leave and they're not going and they want to fight. This is Karbala. These are the companions in Karbala. This is what we need to understand. Who are the companions? You say Ashabi Hussein. Who is Ashabi Hussein? Ashabi Hussein are those that we don't find any resistance at all to what the Imam is saying. They are giving themselves up. It is only through Karbala we understood what companions are. It is through Karbala we understood that. You know what that means? Let me describe it for you if you send me a salawat. You know, when Imam Hassan was shouting out to the people, or he was telling the people, when they're telling him, why don't you stand up, why don't you fight, he's saying, I have no companions. I have no companions. People didn't understand what he was saying. What do you mean you don't have companions? Well, what about all of us? We are here. They couldn't understand. They didn't know what it meant. So in reply to him saying, I have no companions, saying, Ya Mudhill al-Mu'mineen. You're humiliated. You have disgraced us. We are your companions. Look at you. You don't even rise up. Any, my friends, understand this. Imam Hassan's time, it wasn't that. That they understood. They didn't understand what companions are. And in Imam Jafar Sadiq's time, when Imam Jafar and when the sixth Imam used to tell them, I have no companions, they understood, yes, we are not like Abul Fazl Abbas. We know that. Now we know. See, after Imam Hussein, it was understood what the Imams mean when what is companion. After Karbala, it was understood. Before Karbala, they didn't know what he's talking about. After Karbala, now they understood, okay, that's the companions Imams wants. Those are the companions Imam warns. You see, what is the standard of companion is understood through Karbala. That's the standard, my friend. So now if we want to be the companion of Imam Zaman, then Karbala is the example. In anything that Islam is saying, you shouldn't have any resistance, even in your heart. If someone comes and says, oh, you know what? I don't agree with this Islamic law. Oh, really? No, yeah, really, you know, I don't agree with this Islamic law. Okay, fine. Islam gave you the freedom of choice, man. Enjoy your life. Have a good life. See you in the hereafter. Right? See you in the hereafter. We'll see you then. Right? Okay. And these are the people that Allah will say, so, you had an issue with my ruling? Yes. Okay. Here, take a ball of fire and put it in his throat. Now I want to hear you say it again. Friends, this is, understand this. If you are openly disagreeing with Islam, how can you be the companions of Imam? Not only you should not disagree with the Imam, not only should you not disagree with the Imam, but even in your heart, you shouldn't have any problem with what the Imam is saying, with what Islam is saying. Complete submission. Complete submission. You know, and people are saying, you know, there is that ideology that comes about, right? That says, you know, you mean to say that what Islam wants, what the Imam wants, are like blind followers who can't think and they're brainless? You know, they say that. A lot of people say, oh, so this is what Islam wants to make. Blind followers who don't think for themselves. And that's it. No. Understand this, you know. What do you understand from obedience? Let me just tell you. What do you understand from obedience? You know, there are two ways of understanding obedience. And I'll give you both the ways. I'll show you both the ways. And then you tell me what you understand from it when we speak about obedience. You know, one way of understanding is, you know what, this is like blind following. You don't have a brain. You don't have a mind of your own. And that's all the Imam wants. Just whatever they say, you do. If they ask you to stand, you stand. You stand and said, what kind of a follower is that? You said blind follower. That's it. That's all it is. That's one way of looking at it. You know? Now another way of looking at it is that, oh, was that the followers of Imam Hussein who did exactly what he said? No resistance, no opposition. I mean, they just sacrificed everything, that's it. Wow, they must have so much ma'rifah. They must have so much ma'rifat to be believers like that. This is another way of looking at it. Understand? This is another way of looking at it. Why are you looking at it the first way? Blind for it. It's not blind for it. It's because they have so much ma'rifat that they are so much obedient to the Imams. That's why they're obedient, because of the height of their ma'rifat. Height of their understanding and recognition. When you recognize this is the Imam, then you know what? That's why obedience is there. When you don't recognize the Imam, then you don't have obedience. You'll always be arguing. You'll always be arguing. My friends, the companions of Karbala, the companions of Imam Hussein in Karbala, showed us what companions are. Who is Ashab? You want to be the companion of Imam Zaman? Then learn from Karbala. That is what Imam Zaman is looking for. Those are the companions that Imam is looking for. If you are like that, then the Imam is coming back to you. If you are like that. But if you are not like that, then you know what? You might be there, but you won't be with the Imam. My friends, Karbala and the movement of Imam Zamana are very similar to one another. Very close to one another. These two things are very close to one another. When you look at what is Karbala and you look at what is Imam Zamana. Yeah. I'll give you two similarities. No, you know, one similarity and one difference for today. One similarity I'll give you between Karbala and Imam Zaman, and one difference between Karbala and Imam Zaman. The similarity between Karbala and Imam Zaman is this, my friends, that in Karbala, if you look at Karbala, Imam Hussein, in order to join Imam Hussein, a person did not have time to think. The movement of Imam Hussein was such that if you are not prepared, if you are not ready, if you have a doubt, then you miss the boat, you miss the train. Imam Hussein was going, you just had that one shot. You heard his message. X, yes or no? Yes or no? That's it. If you hesitate, he is going forward. You see, a lot of people didn't join because they just heard his message. They took time to think, and Imam Hussein was already gone. He was already gone. And it was too late that you could join. One of the things, the thing with the movement of Imam Hussein is that you don't have time to think. You have to be ready to make the decision on the spot. If you're not ready to make the decision on the spot, you will miss that chance to becoming a companion of Imam and dying with him. You miss that chance. That's it. You miss that boat. If you're not ready. My friends, the movement of Imam Zaman, the reappearance of Imam Zaman and his movement will be similar to Karbala in this instance. If you are not ready for the Imam, if you are not prepared for him, if you cannot become his companion, then you will be against him, you will not be with him. You won't have time to learn then. Imam will not give you the time to learn and think. Oh, the Imam is here. Let me see. You know, should I go? Should I not go? Let me do all the things. No, you don't have time. You don't have time. What it means is that you have to be ready. If you want to be with the Imam, you have to be ready before he comes. Before he comes, you have to be prepared. You have to be ready. Not after he comes. This is the similarity between Karbala and Imam Zaman. And the difference between Karbala and Imam Zaman is that in Karbala you had 72 companions, 72 who are giving their life. The difference with Imam Zaman is that Imam Zaman will have many more than that. Imam will have many more followers than that. A lot of followers, they will come. Many followers will come. All of them will be gathered together. All of them. You know? Imagine that. I mean, you know, really, that is the time to be victorious. When everyone comes together, so many of them will be there. How many people will come there? And they'll all be looking at each other. As for all the work that they did and the sacrifices they made and the hardships and the temptations that they avoided, now they finally made it under the flag of Imam Zaman. Everyone will come with their flags, and all these flags will come from different places, and everyone will be there. And you know what? In that moment when everyone is looking around each other, they will have that happiness that they are under the flag of Imam, that they are fighting with the Imam, that they are in the army of the Imam. They will have that fulfillment, that sense of fulfillment. But everyone will look around and everyone will see the flags. and everyone will look around, and you know what? There's one thing that they will miss, and every one of them will realize it, and they will all look at each other, and they will just miss one thing, and they'll just miss one person, because when they'll look at all the flags, they'll say, everyone is here, but the one that we want here, and that we always looked up to, Abul Fazl al-Abbas is not here with us. Oh, Abbas, where are you, Abbas? Abbas, we learned to carry this flag through you. You taught us how to carry this flag. Everyone will miss Abbas. Really? Everyone will miss Abbas. Abbas is something else. You will see how much you will miss him when Imam is a man. Imam, we can do everything for you, but who is going to become your flag bearer? Imam, who's going to become your flag bearer? No one would dare to take the flag. They will be looking. Aina Abbas! Aina Abbas! They will be calling out. Aina Abbas! My friends, then you will miss Abbas. Then you will know who Abbas is. Then you will truly feel the emptiness. And said that, Abbas, all these years we cried for you. All these years you inspired us. And because of your inspiration, we are here under this flag today, Abbas. And we feel empty without you. We feel empty without you. No, we want you. You is what we want. Well, This is Abbas, this is Karbala, the companions of Imam Hussein, this is it. Abbas is something else, my friend, don't take him lightly, Abbas is something else. With Imam being there, Imam Hussein, who can replace Imam Hussein? Who can overshadow Imam Hussein when Imam Hussein is there? But everyone used to look to Abbas for protection and security. Everyone used to look to Abbas for security. Abbas is here. Abbas is here. Imam used to look to Abbas. Abbas, be here so that everyone in the camp can be feeling secure. Can feel secure because of your presence. Abbas's presence was that. You know, Abbas's presence was that. When Abbas came to bid farewell, you know. When he came to bid farewell to Zainab, you know, Zainab, she told Abbas, you know, Abbas, I remember something, Abbas. You know, I remember something, you know, I used to hear from my father. I used to hear from my father, you know, that, you know, Zainab, from childhood, he used to say, Zainab, and he used to kiss my hands and say, Zainab, these hands will be tied with ropes. And he would cry. He would cry. And I always used to wonder, Abbas, that having a brother like you, who would dare come near my hands? Who would dare even come near me? But Abbas, today you're leaving me! Now I can see the words of my father becoming true. Abbas was that. Abbas was that sense of security for Ahlul Bayt. When Abbas left them and when he died, Hussein, when he came over Abbas, you know, when he came over Abbas, he says, Alan in Qatar Azahari. My back has been broken now, Abbas. Abbas, your death has broken my back. And you know what else he said? He said, Abbas, those enemies that used to be awake because of your fear, and those ladies who used to be asleep because of your presence, now it will be different. Those enemies will be sleeping, and those ladies will be awake at night. Ask the ladies after Karbala about Abbas, my friends. Ask them about Abbas. Who was Abbas for them? In Kufa, whether it's in Kufa or Sham, no matter where they're going, they are looking to Abbas and they're calling Abbas. Where have you gone, Abbas? Where have you gone, Abbas? That's why you see, when these ladies came back to Karbala, you know, when they came back to Karbala for Arba'een, they came back to Karbala and they went to the graves of their beloved. Everyone went to Hussein's grave first, and then they all sat around Hussein's grave and gave condolences to Hussein, cried over his grave, poured their hearts over his grave, and all their children and everyone. Now all of a sudden it is said that they stood up and they all together looked at each other, looked towards the river and started running towards the river, and they came to the grave of Abbas and said, Abbas! Abbas! Here, Abbas! Abbas, let us tell you what happened, Abbas! How our hands were tied, Abbas! How our hijab was taken away from us! How we were ridiculed, Abbas! You heard you, Abbas! سيعلم الذين ينقلبون يا محمود بحق محمد يا الله بحق علي يا فاتر السماوات بحق فاتر يا محسن بحق حسن يا قديم الاحسان بحق حسين oh Allah give us the tawfiq to be on the right path, give us the wisdom to understand your guidance, hasten the reappearance of our imam, make us his helper when he comes. وآخر الدعوة الحمد لله رب العالمين ماتم حسين يا حسين